3172. SMS Refilwe on 31702.
So this morning, we're taking a look at fuel-saving features in hybrid cars, what a hybrid car is, how they work, and of course, our resident motoring expert and motoring journalist, Ernest Page, is bringing us two reviews, the Honda Fit Hybrid, as well as the Toyota Corolla Cross Hybrid. But before we get into the real meat of the matter, Ernest Page, good morning. If I were to call you right now, and I'm saying this because I don't have your number, and I'm pretty sure you don't have mine. If I were to call you, would you pick up, or would you see a strange number and say, hell no?
Look, let's say, well, good morning, and I'm assuming that your number isn't an 087 number. and then also my true caller would come to the rescue and
go.
Let me know that Ritiwe Makanyane is phoning me with a little tick next to it. So once you've got the tick, then I know it's you and it's all good. But we've got to that point, haven't we, where there's so many untrustworthy telephonic sources now, and there's a direct connection to everyone, and that's via our cell phone.
Yes.
And we've got to protect that connection, you know, and it's not always possible to switch our phones off. I don't necessarily want to talk to everybody. So I've got a rule where if my phone rings, it's my choice whether I want to pick the phone up and connect with the person on the other side, because my in-person conversations, or all my conversations on the radio for that matter, are more important.
Okay, I love it. So this is just a privacy and peace of mind approach that you have. You're not avoiding anybody. It's not the bank that you're ducking and diving from. This is strictly peace of mind and your personal space. Yeah,
exactly. I feel it's important to maintain my bubble, because if my bubble gets sort of, if I allow everything in there, they're now connected permanently to things that I don't necessarily want to be connected.
Okay, interesting perspective. I hear you, but what really makes me lazy is texting back strangers, and I'd prefer to just wrap up that conversation, hear what they're inquiring about, say yes, say no, say let me think about it, and just be done with it. I don't mind. I really don't mind a phone call. Obviously, office hours, please, if you're not my chummy. But we've all got different approaches. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. I hear you.
I'm a voice note guy.
Oh my goodness. A voice note from a stranger. Hi there. I'm so-and-so from a PR agency. Hey, listen, Ernest, it's a lot. But yeah, in this world of hyper-connectedness, as you say, we all have our very unique preferences, and navigating them and knowing what's appropriate for each situation can be a little tricky. I suppose that's why so many people rely on an email, and no offense can be taken there. Yeah, you just send that and you're done.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the meat of the matter. So today you're giving us a sense of five tech features that improve fuel efficiency, and why we ought to be focusing on looking at hybrid cars as well.
Exactly. And, you know, we're now at that point. We were jokingly talking about the 20 rand a litre mark. We're there now. And I think the fuel-saving conversation has become a real thing, because we don't know if this upward trend is going to continue or not, and it's more than likely it is. Electric vehicles are still prohibitively expensive. So the conversation now has turned to hybrid cars again. And I've been having this conversation a lot more often nowadays.
Yeah.
Toyota has recently launched a hybrid car, and I was one of those people, and, you know, opinions change. I certainly changed my opinion based on the new information. And I was one of those people that thought, you know, sooner or later there'll be this jump to electric cars, and it is happening slowly. What Toyota have done is they've invested in hybrid technology for the next few years, because they believe that this is a uniquely South African landscape, and for our landscape, the hybrid system works. And I'm starting to believe that.
Okay.
There is definitely some truth to that. So before we get to fully electric, they've introduced the Toyota Corolla Hybrid Cross, and it has become the third best-selling vehicle in the market within the space of a month or two. So there's clearly something there that people are interested in, and they're looking to push the hybrid version. It's basically a Toyota Prius, but with better styling, and, you know, it's more sort of palpable. Whereas the Toyota Prius was the kind of car that I wanted to hate, but once I drove it, I liked it. But the Corolla Cross has got much broader appeal. So now we've got ordinary people that are test driving hybrid technology, whereas before, you know, they would not even consider it. Absolutely. So the fuel-saving benefits on a hybrid car at this stage, it's very high. You could get a decently priced hybrid finally now for under 500,000 and slowly start working on those fuel savings every day.
Just, you know, put us, you've touched on the price point, which of course is a very important consideration for a South African consumer. And it helps, as you said, that aesthetically, this Toyota is more pleasing than the Prius, which you said you wanted to hate, but of course you drove it and you changed your mind. I got to admit, I hated it anyway. Awful looking vehicle.
I'd like to ask you, yeah. If I may turn that around and you see it, what about the car did you not like, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, strictly aesthetic. That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
All I'm hung up on is driving around. I don't even know how to describe that shape or the feeling of it. But it reminded me of an old school milk carton. and, you know, just vanity at play. Nothing about the environment and, you know, how I'm doing my part. So, yeah, just absolutely superficial reasons. Don't mind me.
And rightly so. And rightly so, we buy a car as an extension of ourselves. So it's a fashion extension in a lot of ways as well, whether we like to admit that or not. So to the Prius, it's a great car, but the looks did let it down, and it was just too futuristic. I think there was a phase where manufacturers wanted to make the cars look like the future, but that's not necessarily a good idea because the changeovers are drastic. So Toyota and many other manufacturers like Honda now with the Fit, which is at the moment the second most cost-effective hybrid car out there, is also looking more like a regular car and now has wider appeal. So with regard to hybrid technologies, there's various bunch. There's a few different ones. There's parallel, there's series and plug-in.
Talk us through what the differences are there.
So parallel is the most common one. That's where the engine blends the electric power and the gasoline power at the same time. And that's what's most popular at the moment. Like the Toyota Prius and the new Toyota Corolla Cross. So you feel the kickover every now and then. You'll feel that the engine is mostly on, but the battery power lets you pull off the line. And that's where we use a lot of fuel is when we pull off. But with a hybrid, you pull off with the battery. So you have that situation where you pull off using no fuel. And then once the car got going, now the engine kicks in and you can then use less fuel. I recently did a video that we're releasing in the next 2 weeks with the Honda Fit, where I let people from my channel try and see who gets the most fuel economy. And there were cash prizes involved, so people were chasing their economy for a change. it's a game that you can play by getting the fuel consumption as low as possible if you manage to understand how the system works. So you can really get way below the claimed figures, especially in the Honda. The Honda is exceptionally economical. You can get way below the claimed figures of 3.7 liters per 100, which is already very low. The best I got was 3.4. My ultimate best one day, where I was kind of getting overtaken all the time, was 2.9 liters per 100 k.
That's fantastic.
Which is a catastrophic saving.
Yeah.
You know, you get to that point where the fuel needle kind of not moving as fast as it did the last time. And I think where there's the real money involved, the 20 Rand litre, the parallel hybrid system is one of my favorites, and that's what's mostly on our market.
Okay.
Then the second one is the series hybrid, like the BMW i3, where you've got this electric engine that mostly runs the car, and then when they electric, or you've got a little petrol motor in the i3, for example, that you fill up with fuel, and now you've got a backup, which takes away the range anxiety that many people felt with fully electric cars.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've got this little backup that you know that at least if I run out of electricity, then I've got a little fuel engine in the back. Not as popular, and certainly I don't think it's going to be the most popular as things progress.
Okay.
And then the final one is the plug-in hybrid, which is where you plug the vehicle in, like the Volvo T8, for example, the big SUV with a very powerful combination electric and petrol engine. And you've also got fully electric cars where you can also plug them in, but the Volvo is an example of the plug-in hybrid, which, again, I think Toyota is onto something by saying that, yes, plug-in hybrid is cool, and that might be a step down the line where people become more popular, but right now people want just put in fuel, and then with the parallel hybrid, a non-plug-in hybrid, the engine charges the battery.
Listen, Ernest, until we can sort out our electricity problem, and I'm sure Bedford View residents feel me on this one, until those things are sorted out, plug-in can just wait a moment. We'll deal with the other hybrids for now.
But just the motoring journalist in me needs to interject here.
Yeah.
And say that there is no correlation, not much correlation, between Eskom's power problems and plugging in your electric vehicle. The percentages are too small to justify causing more strain on the grid at this stage.
Less than
half a percentage. So if we do get an update in electric cars in South Africa, we should still be okay for the foreseeable future.
All right, noted. Very important. You're going to be reviewing the Honda Fit, the 1.5 hybrid CVT for us very, very shortly. But before we do that, just, if hybrid is or electric is not an option for you at the moment, those regular automatic tech features that already improve fuel efficiency, just get into that for us. Most vehicles already have them, right?
Yeah, most vehicles have the ability to have either mild hybrid. You get most premium vehicles these days have a mild hybrid. If you've got a big V8 engine, there's a little 48-volt battery in there that takes over certain systems that makes the car... I don't think that 48-volt systems make cars much more efficient. It just makes them less... use less fuel, in the sense that instead of getting 9 liters per 100 now, you'll get 7. For example, and now the car's fuel consumption is average. So I think for the people in that price point, the 48 volt makes the purchase of the sale more palpable and makes the purchase of the sale more viable, because you don't have sort of old school V8 that's guzzling all the fuel.
Mm.
So the 48 volt hybrid system is one of them. Then, of course, there's stop start technology when you get to the robots and the engine switches off. I'm so used to that right now, but when I survey people that I come into contact with, more than half of them don't like stop-start technology, even with the fuel saving, because it feels like the car stalled, and our parents always taught us that stalling the car is a bad thing. So I think a lot of people aren't happy with that, and frankly, some cars don't do it that well because the power steering then switches off,
yes, exactly.
And it just feels a bit strange. So I don't think some manufacturers do that very well, but some manufacturers do. So I'm okay with stop-start technology. Then, of course, there's different types of gearboxes, like CVT gearboxes that make you use less fuel. And then the biggest technological advancement in fuel saving is the nut behind the wheel. It's us. It's making sure that our driving habits are certain ways, making sure that we don't accelerate harshly, brake harshly, drive as smoothly as possible. Those are that's the biggest deciding factor when it comes to fuel saving. It's our driving style and how we drive. So it is possible to save fuel in your own car right now by changing certain driving habits.
Well, listen, with the petrol price being what it is, yeah, I think we're going to be thinking long and hard around our driver behavior, our driving style, and saving on fuel. What a time to be alive. All right, so the vehicle you're reviewing for us today is the Honda Fit. Tell us about that experience.
The Honda Fit, I had the pleasure of spending a few weeks with the Honda Fit with our video that we created. I managed to get the car for about 3 weeks and really get to that hybrid experience of living with a non-plug-in hybrid. So the little Honda has a claim figure of 3.7 liters per 100, as mentioned earlier on. And it can make up to 80 kilowatts and 253 newtons. 253 newtons is a lot of torque for a car that size. So you get that nippy feeling, that the car accelerates quite quickly when I need it to. But at the same time, what I did enjoy was the fact that the 3.7 liters per 100, in certain cars, it's difficult to get the claim figures that the manufacturers put out there. Mm-hmm. And we often kind of just brush over that you get the claim figure this, but I got this.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Honda Fit, it was in fact possible to get those 3.7 liters per 100 if I drove pretty regularly. And maybe just a little bit more if I added a little bit more gas. So the 4 liters per 100 mark for me is that mark where you fill up the car and the tank doesn't move kind of thing. It feels like I can drive on for a long time. Especially at, as I said, 20 rand a litre, you're putting fuel in and then all of a sudden you've got to put fuel in again. So anything under 4 litres per 100 is exceptionally economical. And that's where this Honda sort of fits in. It's got a CVT gearbox, and this one has got a motor as well that also powers the vehicle. So you've got a motor, an engine, a CVT gearbox. Now, the negatives of that combination is that it can be quite noisy at times. You hear the engine revving, but because of the nature of the system in the Honda, the engine isn't powering the wheels directly. There's a whole bunch of technology in between. So you hear the engine make a noise, but the car kind of feels like it's not moving at the same rate.
Sure.
So I think that's the one consideration that people are going to need to get used to, because it feels strange. You know, it sounds like the clutch is slipping, but because it's belt-driven gearbox, the series is belt, and you've got this motor that, again, is quite loud, one needs to make those concessions. But I think that the public and owners are going to adapt to that over time, because we're going to realize, oh, that's just the gearbox. Or, oh, Jack, that's just the motor making the noise. It's not a direct connection.
Sure. So what are we looking at in terms of price point? We'll get to our all-favorite aesthetics and interior, etc. What are we looking at in terms of price point here?
So as mentioned, the Honda Fit is it's the second most cost-effective hybrid at the moment. So you're looking at about 469,900 for the Honda Fit. The Toyota comes in at the low 400s, and then there will be a Corolla that's coming in later. So the Honda is still going to be in third place, and at 469,000, you get a bit more exclusivity. Mm. It's not going to be as common on the road as the Toyota, but maybe also the kind of person that buys this is not going to look at the Toyota as a hybrid. They want specifically a Honda and then realize that they can get a Honda hybrid for a decent price. Honda Hybrid's competition is its younger brother, or its little brother, the regular VTEC CVT, which starts with 359, and it feels very similar. So there's a big gap between the hybrid and the petrol version. Mm-hmm. So I think for certain people out there, maybe test driving both and seeing which one they want is a good option. But if you're specifically looking for a hybrid, the Fit Hybrid is a very good option. The car is comfortably large inside. There's enough space. The way the dashboard is designed, it's allowed for there to be lots of space in the car. The technology is good. And to be honest, Honda's recent model lineup has not been taken up by the public.
Sure.
The small car compact lineup.
You know,
whereas this one,
No, carry on, Ernest,
Whereas this one was made in Japan, many of the good Hondas are made in Japan and not in their other factories. And it feels like a high-quality product that comes in at a very good price. So you've got the leather seats that feel good. You've got steering that feels good. You've got the interior that feels of premium quality. And the tech is now up to scratch as well. So it's a feel very premium at this price point, which is something that Honda hasn't been able to do because of the competition coming from the Indian manufacturers or the Chinese manufacturers.
Yeah, something that obviously the styling and the aesthetics of the Fit put me very much in mind of the Honda Jazz, which we've seen a lot of on the roads over the years. And it's that thing that they do. You step into this vehicle, and it is incredibly spacious in such an unexpected way, because when you're looking at it from the outside, that's the last thing on your mind. You could fit grandma, grandpa, the kitchen sink, everything in there.
Yes.
How do they do it?
Literally. So they've got a system called the Magic Seat System, which is very clever. If you're sitting on the back seat, for example, you stick your hand under the seat. Most cars have a little board there, so there's no space underneath. So what Honda's done is they've got a clever system where, when you fold the seats, for example, the seats fold completely flat, and now you've got giant space inside the car. So the manipulation of interior space is one of the best in the world, specifically
absolutely.
Honda. And they've taken that technology into their compact car. So the Honda Fit is effectively the successor to the Honda Jazz, but they've now rebadged it the Fit. It's always been called a Fit in the Japanese market, but now we're calling it the Fit here as well.
Love
but
it.
Yes, the Magic Seat System is what gives you very, very practical storage inside the car, space for grandma, grandpa, the kitchen Samsung TV.
Lovely stuff. Ernest, where do we find you on the socials and online?
I'm at Performance with Paige on most platforms. And watch out for videos every second week or so on Facebook and YouTube.
All right. Ernest Paige, always a pleasure. Look forward to our new next conversation. And of course, as Ernest said, you can find him online and his content is really such an absolute treat. You can never go wrong with Ernest Paige, and Motoring with Paige is his handle.